its current state for Tuesday. Thanks for joining us. I'm Mark Bayshore. You're tuned to 90.5 WKAR or listening online at WKAR.org. We appreciate it. We've spent a considerable amount of time on current state talking about health care reform. Today, we're focusing on another costly proposition for the industry and for patients, rehospitalization. Nationwide, a significant number of people who leave the hospital return within days or weeks for another stay. The reasons for this are varied. A conference taking place tomorrow at Michigan State University seeks to address how to implement better transitions between healthcare settings. We're joined today by Sam Watson. Sam is Senior Vice President for Patient Safety and Quality with the Michigan Health and Hospital Association. The MHA is a co-sponsor of the conference. Sam Watson, welcome to Current State.
Good morning.
About 5 years ago, I spoke with a national expert on care transitions, Dr. Stephen Jenks, for a story that I was working on. And at the time, he told me that a patient moving from the hospital to their next phase of care is, and these are his words, quote, sort of like an astronaut going between space stations without a spacesuit. In 2014, 5 years later, have these healthcare transitions improved?
Quite frankly, Mark, we're still working towards making sure that person's in a spacesuit. The challenges are real in care transitions. Patients are far more complex. The area in which they live in may have certain challenges in terms of resources or lack of resources. It's still a very big problem, but we are making gains.
Why? Tell us a little bit more about why these transitions are so complicated. Is there a pattern of causes that emerges as to why someone who leaves a hospital is back in the hospital just a short time later?
Certainly. So there are common causes as well as causes that are specific to a given community. So a common cause, we see patients returning because of medications. They may have had a change of medication during their hospitalization, and when they leave, either their pharmacy doesn't carry that specific medication or it's not on their formulary for the insurance company, and so their treatment can't continue as planned. That's a relatively common thing that we're working to address across the patient's experience. Mm. You may have also something that's unique to a community. The southeast part of our state has, unfortunately, a high degree of homeless, and those patients don't have a home to go back to, so they find it difficult to continue their after-hospitalization care in a way that would keep them from being readmitted.
I'm looking at part of the presentation that one of your keynote speakers tomorrow, Sherry Latimer, an executive with the National Transitions of Care Coalition, which is really instructive here. She will explore what's labeled the conventional approach to healthcare and compare it with a collaborative approach to care. And at the top of her list, she points out that we're moving from an authoritarian model of healthcare to a collaborative model. Tell us just a little bit more about that transition.
That's a great question.
That's at the heart of this thing, it would appear.
It really is. What we're doing tomorrow is we're bringing people together from the entire care continuum, from hospitals to home care to long-term care, and even patients are invited to participate. And this idea of collaboration is you and I are responsible at some level for our own health care. But unfortunately, the way health care, as we typically think about it, has been, it's been more paternalistic than collaborative. And so what we've done is we've worked with physicians and nurses in hospitals. We certainly are working with those outside of the hospital to invite the patient in, if you will, which seems odd to say it, but making it comfortable for you and I to interact in our own healthcare.
Mm-hmm. One other part of Sherry Latimer's presentation, we're moving from a physician-driven model to a patient-centered model, which suggests this shared responsibility.
Absolutely. We've done a lot of work in this space within the Michigan Health and Hospital Association's Keystone Center, where we have actively sought to engage patients. There are some great examples around the state of hospitals that have patient councils. So a person who's been a patient in the hospital can voice what they think are helpful ideas around care, how to better involve the patient, and address things such as health literacy, where I explain to you your discharge instructions, and then you're able to repeat back in a way that you understand how to act on those instructions versus that 4-foot stack of paper that you get at discharge and you have to figure out after you get home.
Sam Watson is Senior Vice President for Patient Safety and Quality with the Michigan Health and Hospital Association. We're talking about hospital or rehospitalization, which will be one of the key topics at a day-long conference tomorrow at the Kellogg Hotel and Conference Center in East Lansing. I do notice that the states invariably are rated in terms of who performs better and who performs worse. I see Washington State has one of the nation's lowest hospital readmission rates. What are they doing that other states like Michigan could learn from?
That's a great question. The work that's happened in Washington State is very similar to what we've begun to do here in Michigan. They've brought everybody together in a very focused way around care transitions. And we used to talk about it in terms of rehospitalization prevention. Rehospitalization is a measure. What we really are focused on are care transitions.
Okay.
And so Washington State has done something very similar where they brought all the entities together. So there's open communication across the care transitions.
I came across an acronym for a new kind of organization here. Another part of Sherry Latimer's keynote tomorrow concerns, new models of healthcare delivery and reimbursement. And one of them, apparently, is the Accountable Care Organization, an ACO. Is that, are we going to be hearing more about ACOs in the future?
Absolutely.
And what is an accountable care organization?
So ACO, that's something that actually came out of health reform, is this accountable care organization concept, where essentially you have a population that a given healthcare system is responsible for.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say, for example, in the Lansing area, one of the hospitals or two of the hospitals would be in an arrangement that they're responsible for the overall health care of the population in the Lansing area. They would have to build relationships with physicians, long-term care, rehab facilities. And for that management, there is a given amount of money to be spent. The Accountable Care Organization essentially helps to spend the money in the most effective way of delivering care. If your care is best delivered outpatient, that's where it should be given. If you have an acute illness that you need to be hospitalized and then transferred to rehab, essentially the care and the money, if you will, follow the patient.
Okay. I'm sure technology plays a huge role in this transition, and I'm thinking of all of the smartphone apps and online apps that can help patients better manage their own care at home. Is this going to be an increasing thing? What role are those playing now? What role will they play in the future?
I've seen some really impressive apps that are out there that allow a patient to be instructed in terms of what their needs are. So if you're hospitalized, the last point of your care being discharged, it's really difficult to get all the information you need to know during that last couple hours of healthcare,
right,
of your admission. And so the idea is that you pace along during the patient's admission the information they need to know to care for themselves afterwards. Some of these apps I've seen have been quite powerful in doing just that, even to the point of being able to show you a picture of the pharmacy that you go to. That technology is still early in its implementation. Integrating it into electronic medical records is still a pretty significant challenge, but I think we're going to see more and more of that in a very short time.
What kinds of ailments are most common among patients who find themselves rehospitalized not that long after being discharged? There must be a pattern there.
There are. There's certainly patients who have chronic disease. So, for example, congestive heart failure, cardio-obstructive pulmonary disease. Those are lifelong and unfortunately life-ending conditions over the course of time. Those patients are very complicated. They're very sick. And as their disease progresses, the likelihood of their being hospitalized increases. And so those are the kinds of patients that you see more often than not. We also will see patients who are have a what's called a comorbidity. So they have their main disease.
And comorbidity. Okay.
Their main disease, and then they have something else to go with it. For example, diabetes, which unfortunately is pretty significant in Michigan. That may help a patient lead to further hospitalizations.
And is government playing a role in all of this, in cutting down on rehospitalization?
Well, there are certainly payment penalties associated with rehospitalizations now. That's part of the Affordable Care Act. It's also part of what's called value-based purchasing. So the federal government essentially has moved from this idea that you pay for the number of times a patient's hospitalized to value. And so for certain conditions, some of which I mentioned, heart failure, acute myocardial infarction, also known as a heart attack, pneumonia, there are penalties that a hospital is subject to if they have a higher than expected readmission rate.
We had Andy Hetzel of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Michigan on here not too long ago, and we talked about all of these. I referred to them at one point as disincentives, and I don't know if that's the best word for that or not, but it would appear to be something like a disincentive if obviously you have to endure a greater percentage of rehospitalization. So a really interesting topic. We want to thank Sam Watson, Senior Vice President for Patient Quality and Safety with the Michigan Health and Hospital Association. We're talking healthcare transitions tomorrow all day at the Kellogg Center in East Lansing. Thank you, Sam.
It's been a pleasure, Mark.